Day 5, Chapter 3, A Parable. Thereupon Shariputta, who felt like dancing with joy, stood up, joined his hands together, looked up at the Honorable Face, and said to the Buddha, "Hearing this truthful voice of yours, I feel like dancing with joy. I have never felt like this before. Why is that? We Shravakas and the Bodhisattvas heard this Dharma before. At that time we saw that the Bodhisattvas were assured of their future Buddhahood, but not that we were. We deeply regretted that we were not given the immeasurable insight of the Tathagata. World-honored one, I sat alone under a tree or walked about mountains and forests thinking, we and the Bodhisattvas entered the same world of the Dharma. Why does the Tathagata save us only by the teachings of the lesser vehicle? Now I understand that the fault was on our side, not yours, because if we had waited for your expounding of the way to Anuttara Sammak Sambodhi, we would have been saved by the great vehicle. When we heard your first teaching, we did not know that that teaching was an expedient one expounded according to our capacities. Therefore we believed and received the teaching at once, thought it over, attained the enlightenment to be attained by that teaching. World-honored one, I reproached myself day and night after I saw that the Bodhisattvas were assured of their future Buddhahood. Now I have heard from you the Dharma that I had never heard before. I have removed all my doubts. I am now calm and peaceful in body and mind. Today I have realized that I am your son, that I was born from your mouth, that I was born in the world of the Dharma, and that I have obtained the Dharma of the Buddha." Therefore Shariputta, wishing to repeat what he had said, sang in Gathis, "Hearing this truthful voice, I have the greatest joy that I've ever had. I have removed all the mesh of doubts. You have taught us the great vehicle without break from of old. Your voice is rare to hear. It dispels the suffering of all living beings. I once eliminated Ashravas. Hearing this voice of yours, I have now removed all sorrows. I walked about mountains and valleys or sat under a tree in a forest thinking this over. I reproached myself with a deep sigh. Why was I deceived? We also are sons of the Buddha, just as the Bodhisattvas are. We entered the same world of the Dharma without Ashravas, but we shall not be able to expound unsurpassed enlightenment in the future. We are in the same world of the Dharma, but we shall not be given the golden body, the 32 marks, the 10 powers, and the emancipations of the Buddha. We are deprived of the hope to have the 80 wonderful marks, the 18 unique properties, and the other merits of the Buddha. Sitting in the midst of the great multitude, you benefited all living beings. Your fame extended over the worlds of the 10 quarters. When I was walking alone, I saw all this and thought, I'm not given this benefit. I have been deceived. I thought this over day and night and wished to ask you, am I disqualified from having the benefit or not? I always saw you praising the Bodhisattvas, therefore I thought this over day and night. Now hearing from you, I understand that you expound the Dharma according to the capacities of all living beings. You lead all living beings to the place of enlightenment by the Dharma without Ashravas, difficult to understand. I once was attached to wrong views and became a teacher of aspirants for the teaching of Brahman. You expounded to me the teaching of Nirvana and removed my wrong views because you understood me. I gave up all those wrong views and attained the truth that nothing is substantial. At that time I thought that I had attained extinction, but now I know that the extinction I attained is not the true one. When I become a Buddha in the future, I shall be adorned with the 32 marks and respected by gods, men, yaskas, and dragons. Only then I shall be able to say that I have eliminated all illusions. In the midst of the great multitude, you said to me, you will become a Buddha. Hearing this truthful voice, all my doubts are gone. When I had heard this from you, I was much frightened and perplexed. I thought, the Buddha troubles me. Isn't he Mara in the form of the Buddha? You skillfully expound the Dharma with various parables and similes and with various stories of previous lives. Now my mind is as peaceful as the sea. Hearing you, I have removed the mesh of doubts. You said the innumerable Buddhas in the past expounded the Dharma with expedience. The numberless Buddhas at present also expound the Dharma with expedience. So will the countless Buddhas in the future. You appeared in this world, left your home, attained enlightenment, and now turn the wheel of the Dharma also with expedience. You expound the true teaching. Papiyas does not. Therefore, I know that you are not a transformation of Mara. I thought that the Dharma was expounded by Mara because I was in a mesh of doubts. I hear your gentle voice. Your voice is deep and wonderful. You expound the pure Dharma. My heart is filled with great joy. My doubts are gone. I have obtained true wisdom. I shall become a Buddha without fail. I shall be respected by gods and men. I will turn the wheel of the unsurpassed Dharma and teach Bodhisattvas. Thereupon the Buddha said to Shariputta, Now I will tell you in the presence of this great multitude, including gods, men, shravanas, and brahmanas, under 2 billion Buddhas in the past, I always taught you in order to cause you to attain unsurpassed enlightenment. You studied under me in the long night. I led you with expedience. Therefore you have your present life under me. Shariputta, I caused you to aspire for the enlightenment of the Buddha in your previous existence. You forgot all this and thought that you had already attained extinction in order to cause you to remember the way you practiced under your original vow. I now expound to Shravakas this sutra of the great vehicle called the lotus flower of the wonderful Dharma, the Dharma for Bodhisattvas, the Dharma upheld by the Buddha. Shariputta, after a countless inconceivable number of kalpas from now, you will be able to make offerings to many thousands of billions of Buddhas to keep their right teachings, and to practice the way which Bodhisattvas should practice, and to become a Buddha called Flower-like, the Tathagata, the deserver of offerings, the perfectly enlightened one, the man of wisdom and practice, the well-gone, the knower of the world, the unsurpassed man, the controller of men, the teacher of gods and men, the Buddha, the world-honored one. The world of that Buddha will be called free from taint. That world will be even, pure, adorned, peaceful and fertile, where gods and men will prosper. The ground of that world will be made of lapis lazuli. The roads will fan out from the center to the 8 directions. Those roads will be marked off by ropes of gold, and the trees of the 7 treasures on the roadsides will always bear flowers and fruit. Flower-like Tathagata will also lead the living beings of this world by the teachings of the 3 vehicles. Shariputta, although the world in which he appears will not be an evil one, that Buddha will expound the teachings of the 3 vehicles according to his original vow. The kalpa in which he appears will be called Great Treasure Adornment. Why will it be called Great Treasure Adornment? It is because in that world, Bodhisattvas will be regarded as great treasures. The number of the Bodhisattvas in that world will be countless, inconceivable, beyond any mathematical calculation, beyond inference by any parable or simile. No one will know the number except the Buddha, who has the power of wisdom. Then when those Bodhisattvas wish to go somewhere, jeweled flowers will receive their feet and carry them. Those Bodhisattvas will not have just begun to aspire for enlightenment. A long time before that, they will have already planted the roots of virtue, performed the Brahma practices under many hundreds of thousands of billions of Buddhas, received the praises of the Buddhas, studied the wisdom of the Buddhas, obtained great supernatural powers, and understood all the teachings of the Buddhas. They will be upright, honest, and resolute in mind. The world of that Buddha will be filled with such Bodhisattvas. Shariputta, the duration of the life of flower-like Buddha will be 12 small kalpas, excluding the period in which he was a prince and had not yet attained Buddhahood. The duration of the life of the people of his world will be 8 small kalpas. At the end of his life of 12 small kalpas, flower-like Tathagata will assure resolution fulfillment Bodhisattva of his future attainment of Anuttara Sammak Sambodhi, saying to the bhikkhus, this resolution fulfillment Bodhisattva will become a Buddha immediately after me. He will be called Flower-Foot Easy-Walking, the Tathagata, the Arhat, the Sammak Sambuddha. His world would be like mine. Shariputta, after the extinction of Flower-like Buddha, his right teachings will be preserved for 32 small kalpas. After that, the counterfeit of his right teachings will be preserved also for 32 small kalpas. Thereupon the world-honored one, wishing to repeat what he had said, sang in Gathas. Shariputta, in your future life you will become a Buddha, an honorable one of universal wisdom called Flower-like, and save innumerable living beings. You will make offerings to innumerable Buddhas. You will perform the Bodhisattva practices and will obtain the 10 powers and the other merits and attain unsurpassed enlightenment. The kalpa of that Buddha will come after innumerable kalpas from now. It will be called Great Treasure Adornment. The world of that Buddha will be called Free from Taint. It'll be pure and undefiled. Its ground will be made of lapis lazuli. Its roads will be marked off with robes of gold. Its trees of the various colors and the seven treasures will always bear flowers and fruit. The bodhisattvas of that world will always be resolute in mind. They will have already obtained the supernatural powers and the paramitas. They will have already studied the way of bodhisattvas under innumerable Buddhas. Those great people will be taught by the flower-like Buddha. That Buddha will appear in his world at first as a prince. The prince will give up his princeship and worldly fame. He will renounce the world at the end of his life as a layman and attain the enlightenment of the Buddha. The duration of the life of flower-like Buddha will be 12 small kalpas. The duration of the life of the people of his world will be 8 small kalpas. After the extinction of that Buddha, his right teachings will be preserved for 32 small kalpas. All living beings will be saved by the right teachings. After the end of the period of his right teachings, the counterfeit of them will last for 32 small kalpas. His sariyas will be distributed far and wide. Gods and men will make offerings to them. These will be the deeds of flower-like Buddha. That honorable biped will be the most excellent one, and without a parallel, you will be he. Rejoice. At that time, the great multitude, including Bhikkhus, Bisunis, Apsakas, and Apsikas, that is, the four kinds of devotees, and gods, dragons, Yaskas, Gandharvas, Ashuras, Garudas, Kumnadas, Maragas, when they saw that Shariputta was assured of his future attainment of Anuttara Sambhag Sambodhi by the Buddha, they danced with great joy. They took off their garments and offered them to the Buddha, Chakra, Devita, and Ingrid, the Brahmin heavenly king, and innumerable other gods also offered their wonderful heavenly garments and heavenly flowers of Mandarva and Mahamandarva to the Buddha. The heavenly garments, which had been released from the hands of the gods, whirled in the sky. The gods simultaneously made many thousands of billions of kinds of music in the sky and caused many heavenly flowers to rain down. They said the Buddha turned the wheel of the Dharma at Varanasi a long time ago. Now he turns the wheel of the unsurpassed and greatest Dharma. Thereupon the gods, wishing to repeat what they had said, sang in Gathas. The Buddha turned the wheel of the teaching of the Four Truths at Varanasi a long time ago. He taught that all things are composed of the five aggregates and that they are subject to rise and extinction. Now he turns the wheel of the Dharma, the most wonderful, unsurpassed and greatest. The Dharma is profound. Few believe it. So far we have heard many teachings of the world-honored one, but we have never heard such a profound, wonderful, and excellent teaching as this. We are very glad to hear this from the world-honored one. Shariputta, a man of great wisdom, was assured of his future Buddhahood. We also shall be able to become Buddhas and to receive the highest unsurpassed honor in the world. The Buddha expounded his enlightenment, difficult to understand, with expedience according to the capacities of all living beings. We obtained merits by the good karmas we did in this life of ours and in our previous existence. We also obtained merits by seeing the Buddha. May we attain the enlightenment of the Buddha by these merits. Thereupon Shariputta said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, now my doubts are gone. You assured me of my future attainment of Anuttara Sambhag Sambodhi. These 1,200 people now have freedom of mind. When they had something more to learn, that is to say, when they had not yet completed their study for Arhatship, you taught them, saying, 'My teaching is for the purpose of causing you to emancipate yourself from birth, old age, disease, and death, and to attain Nirvana.' The 2,000 people, including those who have something more to learn and those who have nothing more to learn, also think that they attained Nirvana because they emancipated themselves from such a view as, 'I exist, or I shall exist forever, or I shall cease to exist.' But the 1,200 people and the 2,000 people are now quite perplexed because they have heard from you the Dharma which they had never heard before. World-honored one, in order to cause the four kinds of devotees to remove their doubts, explain why you said all this to them." Thereupon the Buddha said to Shariputta, "Did I not tell you the Buddhas, the world-honored ones, expound the Dharma with expedience, that is, with various stories of previous lives, with various parables, with various similes, and with various discourses, only for the purpose of causing all living beings to attain Anuttara Sammasambodhi? All of these teachings of the Buddha are for the purpose of teaching bodhisattvas. Shariputta, now I will explain this with a parable. Those who have wisdom will be able to understand the reason if they hear the following parable. Shariputta, suppose there lived a very rich man in a certain country, in a certain village, in a certain town. He was old. His wealth was immeasurable. He had many paddy fields, houses, and servants. His manor house was large, but had only one gate. In that house lived many people, numbering 100 or 200 or 500. The buildings were in decay, the fences and walls corrupt, the bases and pillars rotten, and the beams and ridgepoles tilted and slanted. All of a sudden, fires broke out at the same time from all sides of the house, and it began to burn. In this house lived children of the rich man, numbering 10, 20, or 30. The rich man was very frightened at the great fires breaking out from all four sides of the house. He thought, "I'm able to get out of the gate of the burning house safely, but my children are still inside. They are engrossed in playing. They do not know that the fires are coming towards them. They are not frightened or afraid. They are about to suffer, but do not mind. They do not wish to get out." Shariputta, he also thought, "I'm strong-muscled. I will put them on a flower plate or on a table and bring them out." But he thought again, "This house is only one gate. Worse still, the gate is narrow and small. My children are too young to know this. They are attached to the place where they are playing. They may fall out of the plate or the table and get burned. I had better tell them of the danger. This house is already burning. They must come out quickly so as not to get burned to death." Having thought this, he said to his children, as he had thought, "Come out quickly." He warned them with these good words out of his compassion towards them, but they were too much engrossed in playing to hear the words of their father. They were too frightened or afraid. They did not wish to come out. They did not know what a fire was, what a house was, or what they would lose. They ran about happily. They only glanced at their father occasionally. Thereupon the rich man thought, "This house will be burned down soon by this great fire. If they and I do not get out at once, we shall be burned. I shall save them from this danger with an expedient." An idea came to his mind that his children would be attracted by the various toys which they wished to have. He said to them, "The toys you wish to have are rare, difficult to obtain. You will be sorry if you do not get them now. There are sheep carts, deer carts, and bullock carts outside the gate. You can play with them. Come out of this burning house quickly. I will give you any of them according to your wishes." Hearing of the toys from their father, the children rushed quickly out of the burning house, pushing one another and striving to be first, because they thought that they could get what they each wished to have. The rich man, who saw them having come out safely and sitting in the open at the crossroads with no more hindrance, felt relieved and danced with joy. They said to their father, "Father, give us the toys, give us the sheep carts, deer carts, and bullock carts. You promised us." Shariputta, the rich man, gave each of them a large cart of the same size. The cart was tall, wide, and deep, adorned with many treasures, surrounded by railings, and having bells hanging on all four sides. A canopy adorned with rare treasures was fixed to the top of it. Garlands of flowers tied with jeweled ropes were hanging down from the canopy. In the cart were quilts spread one on another and a red pillow. The cart was yoked with white bullocks. The color of the skin of the white bullocks was bright, and their build beautiful and stout, their pace regular. They could run as swift as the wind. The cart was guarded by many attendants. This rich man gave one of these carts to each of his children because his wealth was so immeasurable that his various storehouses were full of treasures. He thought, "My treasures are limitless. I should not give inferior, smaller carts to them. They are all my children. Therefore I love them without partiality. I have a countless number of these large carts of the seven treasures. I gave one of these to each of my children equally. There should be no discrimination. The large carts are numerous enough to be given to all the people of this country. Needless to say, I can give them to my sons. Therefore, I did. Here ends day 5.